an hour or two a week, but only 25% use it daily, and 11% have never used the Internet at all. Many, many consumers already use the Internet far more intensively. If you're going to lead the digital age, you need to become familiar enough with the Internet to be able to imagine what the web lifestyle will mean for your industry, even if the change is going to take years. You should find ways to immerse yourself and your other executives in these new approaches and have retreats where you can determine the right strategy for applying them to your own business. Avoiding complacency. For years and years, enthusiasts have been saying that the Internet will happen tomorrow. You're going to keep reading prognostications that the big change will happen in the next 12 months. This is just baloney. The social adaptations that have to occur take years, and the infrastructure has to be built out. But when the social and technical changes reach critical mass, the change will be quick and irreversible. The point will come where the web lifestyle really will take off, and I believe that's sometime in the next 5 years. As I said in The Road Ahead, we always overestimate the change that will occur in the next 2 years, and underestimate the change that will occur in the next 10. Don't let yourself be lulled into inaction. One possible scenario is that you'll scramble to build some internet sites, and then you won't see an appreciable portion of your customers or partners using them right away. This situation might mislead you into thinking, oh well, the internet's not going to change our business after all, so let's not focus on it. Because it won't happen overnight, you might think nothing fundamental is going to change. Then, a few years later, all of a sudden the change will surprise you, and you'll find it hard to catch up. It's hard to think of a business category in which the internet won't have an impact, or in which there aren't already internet startups. Lots of companies now wish they were the first internet bookstore, or travel agency, or stockbroker, capturing the early customers, the word of mouth, and the name recognition. Businesses that are out there early are not just getting ahead on the learning curve, they are also rushing to redefine business boundaries. Amazon.com, which established itself as an internet book vendor, has begun to sell CDs. There's no reason for Amazon not to sell other merchandise as well. The initial impetus for your company to go onto the web might be to obtain cost savings and attract new customers. Once you have customers interacting with you, you have an incredible ability to build on that relationship to offer a broader set of products. Portals like Yahoo have created their own travel sites. An internet business is not like a branch bank where you can train employees on only a small number of products. The virtual nature of the internet enables whatever shopping your customers want to do. You'll see more Amazon-like cases in which a company that is strong in one online area expands its product offerings. The warning to every business is that even if no one in your industry jumps in early, big online players trying to fill every commerce niche will move into yours. Learn about the internet today. Find a microcosm of your customers who are already adopting the web lifestyle. Use this group to develop models for how you might do business overall. Within a decade, most of your other customers will have also made the shift, and you'll be prepared. The examples that follow in this section show companies that are taking this approach to prepare themselves for how the internet is changing everything. Business lessons. Most transactions will become self-service digital transactions, and intermediaries will evolve to add value or perish. Customer service will become the primary value-added function in every business. The pace of change and the need for more personalized attention to customers will drive companies to adopt digital processes internally. Diagnosing your digital nervous system. Has your management team familiarized itself with the internet and taken time to prepare a vision of how it will change your business in the next decade? Are you working with your IT team to implement that vision technically? Chapter 5. The Middleman Must Add Value. Technology is reshaping this economy and transforming businesses and consumers. This is about more than e-commerce or email or e-trades or e-files. It is about the E in economic opportunity. William Daley, U.S. Commerce Secretary. Here on the edge of the 21st century, a fundamental new rule of business is that the internet changes everything. At the minimum, internet technologies are altering the way every company, even a small one, deals with its employees, partners, and suppliers. Not every company needs to use the internet to interact with its customers right now, but someday soon, a corporate website where customers can do business with a company will be as essential as the telephone and a mailing address have been. Already, the overwhelming majority of Fortune 500 companies have websites. The internet is driving down costs for transactions and distribution and reshaping the relationships of companies with their customers. The internet produces more competition among vendors and more access to vendors by potential customers. In pre-internet days, the only way consumers could get goods from most manufacturers was through tiers of distributors and resellers. Today, consumers can transact business directly with manufacturers eager to offer internet service. Nowadays, any manufacturer can provide the internet equivalent of a factory outlet. Before the internet, gathering all the information for financial products, travel options, and other consumer products required lots of time. A multitude of service companies made their money by collecting and organizing that kind of information for customers. Today, despite imperfect search tools, consumers themselves can go to the internet to find much of the information they need. And any company can dispense valuable information cheaply by means of the internet without branch offices. In 1995, in The Road Ahead, I used the term friction-free capitalism to describe how the internet was helping to create Adam Smith's ideal marketplace, in which buyers and sellers can easily find one another without taking much time or spending much money. Finding the other interested party is the first problem in most markets. The second is understanding the nature and quality of the goods and services being offered. The internet makes it easy for a buyer to get background information about a product, how it's rated by consumer organizations or other independent reviews, and to compare prices easily. Buyers can also tell sellers more about their requirements, and sellers will be able to target their wares to the people most interested and to cross-sell related products. The internet is a great tool for helping customers find the best deal they can. It is reasonably easy for consumers to jump from one retail website to another to find the best prices on some goods. At least two different services provide real-time pricing comparisons for consumers shopping for goods such as books and CDs. Some travel sites feature automated bargain finders that can track down low airfares. At least one company, Priceline.com, reverses the buyer-seller relationship by having buyers bid the price they're willing to pay for a car or a plane ticket and shopping that price around to sellers. How broadly this approach will be used is yet unclear, but it is possible only through the reach of the internet. Over time, software will automate comparison shopping even more. Haggling over price will become effortlessly electronic. At least one online mall already checks other major sites for the prices of commonly purchased items and automatically reduces its prices to ensure that they're always slightly lower. It's an electronic form of loss leader, though the merchant, without bricks and mortar, may still eke out a profit. Consumers will be able to join together electronically to get volume pricing in ways that have not been easy before. There will even be cases in which software representing the seller negotiates prices with software representing not one consumer, but hundreds or thousands. Existing large markets that have largely interchangeable products, such as coal or steel, are already well mediated. The internet may not change the matching of buyers and sellers or price that much. The web will provide more value in areas where matching buyers and sellers is more difficult, such as services, or where markets are small or dispersed. How does a consumer easily find a used product, car, computer, stereo, with certain capabilities and in a certain price range? People trying to buy or sell hard-to-find items of any kind, such as antiques, parts for older equipment, or specialty items, will benefit. The Gap, for instance, is finding that the most frequent customers of its online clothing store are people looking for sizes that are not normally stocked in physical stores. The Gap can meet the needs of these customers without adding to its stocking costs at its retail outlets. Virtual auctions provide a much wider array of goods than can be sold in an auction at a physical location and can draw people from all over the world, not just those in a particular locale. With its unique ability to bring people together, the web will create markets that didn't exist before. Some web merchants will adopt flexible pricing. Flexible prices are already a fixture of the ordinary marketplace. Many electronics and appliance stores advertise price guarantees in which they promise to match the lowest price a consumer can find. This strategy lets them say that they won't be undersold, even while their marked prices stay higher. Some stores run so many sales that there are really two prices for most items, the regular price for the impulse shopper and the sale price for the patient shopper. Direct mail marketers often publish different prices in different catalogs, targeted at different market segments. When you call to order, the sales representative asks for your customer number or catalog number first, so that he or she knows what to charge you. The goal of these and similar pricing maneuvers is to capture the business of price-sensitive shoppers while harvesting higher margins from shoppers who aren't as diligent or as concerned about price. In effect, merchants are setting prices according to an individual's willingness to pay. This idea may sound radical, but it's as old as progressive taxation. College educations are priced this way, with a discount called financial aid that varies according to family income and assets. The techniques used by direct marketers are crude compared with what the Internet will make possible. Sellers will identify repeat visitors to their online stores and give them personalized information and services. If a store's website comes to know what kinds of prices a customer has or hasn't been willing to pay in the past, it may reduce a price to spur that customer to buy. Many websites ask users for registration information, including name, address, demographic data, and credit information. While this data enables businesses to offer better services and support for customers and do more targeted marketing, consumers should be able to approve in advance the use of any personal data and whether that data can be passed on to other entities. Today, e-commerce runs on the honor system, with vendors asking users their permission for information use. We're working on technology that would let consumers predefine the type of data that their PCs would make available to other systems over a network. The software will put the control with the user, where it belongs, while also eliminating the need for the user to re-enter the same data over and over. Buying on the web will increase the number of packages being delivered at the same time it reduces the number of letters, flyers, and bills. For low-cost items, the delivery charge may eliminate the savings of buying over the web. Post offices and private delivery companies have a big opportunity to adapt their services to meet the changing demands in package delivery. For the majority of products, which are available through many outlets, consumers will be the greatest beneficiaries. For unique products and services, sellers will find more potential customers and may command higher prices. The more consumers adopt the web lifestyle, the closer the economy will move toward Adam Smith's perfect market in all areas of commerce. Adding value to transactions. Now that customers can deal directly with manufacturers and service providers, there is little value added in simply transferring goods or information. Various commentators have predicted the death of the middleman. Certainly, the value of a pass-through middleman is quickly falling to zero. Travel agents who simply book plane fares will disappear. This kind of high-volume, low-value transaction is perfect for a self-service internet travel reservation site. In the future, travel agents will need to do more than book tickets. They will need to create a total travel adventure. A travel agent who provides highly personalized tours of, say, Italy or the California wine country will still be in great demand. If you're a middleman, the Internet's promise of cheaper prices and faster service can disintermediate you, eliminate your role of assisting the transaction between the producer and the consumer. If the Internet is about to disintermediate you, one tack is to use the Internet to get back into the action. That's what Egghead.com, formerly Egghead, a major retail software chain, did after struggling for several years. Egghead closed all of its physical stores nationwide in 1998 and set up shop exclusively on the Internet. Eliminating brick-and-mortar expenses, though, is only a tactic, not a strategy. Egghead now offers a number of new online programs that take advantage of the Internet, such as electronic auctions for about 50 different categories of hardware and software, and for reconditioned computers. It puts special liquidation prices on systems available on its website and sends out a weekly email hot list with exclusive offers available only to email subscribers. The jury is still out on whether Egghead will thrive and meet the test of this chapter, which is that the middleman must add value, but the company certainly understands the principle. Every retail store needs to take the Internet into account. The success of the Amazon.com bookstore, which exists only on the Internet, impelled Barnes & Noble to combine its successful physical bookstores with a strong presence in cyberspace, and to team up with Bertelsmann, a leading international media company, in an online joint venture. For service industries, the Internet requires you to be either a high-volume, low-cost provider or a high-touch customer service provider. For the high-volume, low-cost model, you can use Internet technology to create a self-service approach. You make a lot of information available to customers, and you drive a lot of traffic and transactions through your Internet site, offering the best price. Because only a few companies in any market will be the high-volume players, most companies will have to find ways to use the Internet not just to reduce costs, but also to deliver new services. E-Trade Securities pioneered the low-cost, Internet self-service approach to financial services in 1992. The Forrester Group estimated that there were 3 million online brokerage customers in the United States at the end of 1997, and said that the number could top 14 million within 5 years. By 1998, at least 70 brokerage firms provided self-service online stock trading, and the number was continuing to rise. Online trading accounted for more than 20% of all retail transactions. A few online brokerages, designed for experienced investors and offering no research, charge very little per trade, but most offer a range of research and services in an effort to set themselves apart, and they charge more per trade. These new online financial services create an interesting challenge for the traditional brokerage houses accustomed to providing their services in person or over the phone. Most of the data that brokerage firms provide to its customers is now available for free on the Internet. These firms face a fundamental strategy decision. Do you use technology to play the same game that the e-traders play? And if you do that, how do you differentiate yourself from them? Or do you use technology to play to your traditional strengths? Highly trained staff accustomed to managing long-term customer relationships. If you adopt the latter strategy, how can you use technology to be more efficient, and how can you turn the Internet's popularity to your advantage? Making a fundamental decision. Merrill Lynch and Company, a longtime leader in traditional financial services, began an intense reevaluation of its approach to its business by asking just those questions in 1997. Merrill Lynch has managed its customer investments for more than a century by amassing vast amounts of financial data, analyzing it, and creating long-range financial plans. By 1997, the company had more than $1 trillion in client assets. But the growth of low-cost traders and then of Internet-based trading between 1992 and 1997 led senior managers to recognize that their current approach might not be sustained. As Howard Sorgan, Senior Vice President and Chief Technology Officer of Merrill Lynch's private client business, put it, "Our customers were changing. The way people got information and made decisions was changing. We would have been foolish to think we didn't have to change, too." At the heart of Merrill Lynch's concerns was the need to improve the efficiency of the company's most valuable asset, its financial consultants, FCs. Merrill Lynch's financial consultants were spending a great deal of their time tracking down data, stock quotes, research reports, customer account data, Merrill Lynch product information, interest rates, and other widely dispersed information, and less of their time acting as financial advisors. The company's mainframe-based information systems were expensive and hard to use. The customer database, product information, pricing, research reports, all of the different categories of data, were on different, incompatible systems. Financial consultants had several terminals on their desks, each one requiring fluency in a dozen different applications, all with different esoteric keyboard commands. Improving information access for its financial consultants was crucial to meeting Merrill Lynch's business goal, helping clients accrue wealth. Merrill Lynch's competitive advantage to date had been its collective knowledge of financial markets and the skills it brought to those markets on behalf of its customers. Merrill Lynch's future competitive advantage, its senior managers concluded, would be the same investment know-how, augmented by technology. Merrill Lynch decided to recast its information systems around the information flow its financial consultants needed. The new system had to be FC-centric, providing rich content and great analytical tools on the desktop to help financial consultants develop, implement, and monitor financial plans for clients. This desktop environment would have to be robust and include audio and video capabilities so that financial consultants could see breaking news from around the world and video training materials and collaborate with each other. Merrill Lynch didn't want to hand-build everything either. To save money and development time, The company wanted to use off-the-shelf products wherever it could. When Merrill Lynch managers went before their board of directors, they asked for, in round numbers, $1 billion worth of technology to maintain the company's leadership position in financial services. $1 billion is a pretty big bet on the future. The board's discussion, however, didn't center on the costs or on the return on investment. It was about survival and prosperity in the future. It was about continuing to differentiate Merrill Lynch from its traditional competitors and responding to the challenge from a new kind of competitor. The board agreed that the best way to compete was to give the company's knowledge workers great knowledge tools. Management got the go-ahead for what became a five-year, $825 million project. The only admonition from the board was that the project had better not turn into an eight-year, $2 billion undertaking. It didn't. The Trusted Global Advisor, TGA, rollout was completed in October 1998 for approximately $850 million. With FC-centric requirements in mind, the company's IT team devoted a year to evaluation and designed a PC-based digital nervous system on which to build the company's future worldwide. Merrill Lynch's system includes a new telecommunications infrastructure, upgraded PC hardware and software, and electronic market data feeds. Merrill Lynch spent a total of $250 million on software development. Much of the remaining expense, for the telecom system and for electronic data feeds for stock quotes and news, for example, would have been required no matter what software Merrill Lynch used. Compared to maintaining the company's existing infrastructure and applications, the actual difference in cost netted out to about $250 million over 4 years. For slightly more than $60 million a year, approximately $3,500 per financial consultant, Merrill Lynch completely overhauled the information system for the 14,700 financial consultants in its 700 U.S. offices and for another 2,000 consultants internationally. CTO Howard Sorgan showed me firsthand the Merrill Lynch solution, which represents a profound use of information technology to bring information to users quickly and intelligently. Realizing that it would take years to rewrite legacy applications on old systems and integrate all of the company's core business systems, the IT team created a universal PC shell, a common user interface for the TGA platform that ties together all of Merrill Lynch's systems, old, new, and future. This sub-browser shell enables Merrill Lynch staff to work with any number of local, client-server, legacy, and web browser applications in a consistent, intuitive way. Regardless of origin, related data is logically organized into pages of information. The pages are structured into sections, chapters, and books. Everybody understands the book metaphor, and a loose-leaf binder approach to the book provides flexibility in organizing the information. In the upper right-hand corner of the TGA screen is a customizable information center containing the real-time information that financial consultants need to monitor constantly. A financial consultant can monitor a dozen key stocks there, along with news alerts about key companies, broadcasts such as CNN Live, and important incoming email. The folders in TGA are customizable, too. A financial consultant can click on a stock exchange folder and select a number of exchanges to watch, NASDAQ, New York, Tokyo, and so on. The financial consultant pastes new selections into the stock exchange folder, and real-time feeds for those exchanges start up. The TGA platform enables fast measurement of a portfolio's performance against a client's financial goals. Tracking progress in a portfolio used to be very time-consuming. A financial consultant might see that the client's portfolio was behind goal, but would need to manually run a lot of what-if scenarios to figure out what should change to get the client on track. Evaluating progress for 300 clients, many of whom might have several different accounts, was a challenge. TGA makes several views of the data available automatically. A financial consultant can tell with one glance whether a portfolio is performing to goal, and can play with variables such as having the client increase savings, increase portfolio risk, downsize goals, and so on, to graphically see how various choices would affect the client's financial plan. Eventually, clients will be able to run these what-if scenarios on their own PCs. To take care of the administrative aspects of their jobs, filling out expense reports, calling clients, sending email, financial consultants click on logically named tabs that automatically invoke the appropriate applications, such as a word processor, a spreadsheet, or a contact manager. A financial consultant doesn't need to know what these applications are called and doesn't need to worry about where the applications are running or how to summon them. TGA has a user interface tuned for common scenarios. A financial consultant who has the news page up to see real-time news stories from the wire services can drag a company's stock symbol, say MER for Merrill Lynch, from the live stock ticker in the information center over to the news page. The news page instantly displays stories related to that company. If a financial consultant has turned on a filter, say for Asia, the news page brings up only the stories about that company involving Asia. A click on Stock History provides links to Microsoft Investor, which provides a history of the company's stock performance. If the market data vendor's stock feed dies, the TGA notices and puts a question mark in the stock quote field next to the last known number. The system follows what a financial consultant does and notes special interests. Like a well-trained assistant, it carries out often repeated rounds of activity without being asked. For example, a financial consultant can instruct the system to automatically bring up relevant news about a certain company, graph the stock's 30-day and 5-year performance, show similar graphs for the company's top three competitors, display the company's price-to-earnings ratio, bring up Merrill Lynch's research opinions of the company, and on and on. Every time the financial consultant clicks on that particular stock, all of this information will come up in about 2 seconds. In an effort to document and replicate best practices, Merrill Lynch is carefully monitoring how its most experienced consultants use the system. The plan is to create electronic models of their work habits and further enhance the TGA system for everybody. In addition to seeing much of the same information as the financial consultants, Merrill Lynch's senior executives use a version of TGA that enables them to monitor company performance figures and other operational data. Branch office managers have a different custom set of loose-leaf books, as do middle marketers, home office staff, insurance professions, and support staff. Insurance professions, for example, have access to underwriting tables and insurance regulations, while administrative staff can tap into travel information and reservation applications. Everybody feels that the system is tuned just for him or her. How to upgrade 10 offices a week. In a rollout that lasted a little more than a year, Merrill Lynch upgraded 10 of its offices every week. 2 weeks before conversion, a team would arrive to deliver mandatory training on the new system. The trainers would teach the staff basic functionality and use of the extensive online help system, which contains online cue cards and multimedia demonstrations. The Sunday before the system went live, the trainers would conduct a 3-hour review session. After the system went live, they would stay for another week to make sure everybody was up to speed. The Friday afternoon before the changeover, an installation would arrive. Over the weekend, this team would yank out the entire old infrastructure, the many terminals, older PCs, cabling, even inadequate electrical boxes. They'd install high-speed internet links and Pentium Pro-based workstations for each employee and a pair of multiprocessor PC servers, one for stock quotes, other information feeds, and file and print services, and the other for email. On Monday morning, the office would go live. The assimilation rate was much higher than Merrill Lynch expected. The independent PC experience of many of the staff, the intuitiveness of the system, and the thoroughness of the training were the key reasons for this success. Undergoing a consultant paradigm shift. The new technology has brought about a paradigm shift for financial consultants. Success now involves more than the slow accumulation of knowledge or knowing where to look for arcane information. A 20-year company veteran says that in addition to cutting research from hours to minutes, the TGA system's ability to graphically chart a number of metrics, company performance, price-earnings ratios, and so on, allows an experienced financial consultant to zero in on the best-looking entry and get in on the ground floor of an emerging market. Financial consultants have more time to build stronger relationships with clients. A financial consultant used to rely on notes and other documentation when talking with one of his or her 300 clients. When a client called, where was the information you needed? Did you have it? Your assistant? Now, records of all client contacts are centralized in an electronic client contact file. Personal information, for example, the fact that the client has 2 children in college, gives the financial consultant opportunities to personalize a call and send the client pertinent information. Merrill Lynch has spent a lot of time considering the impact of sharing a version of the system with its clients. There were long philosophical discussions within Merrill Lynch about how to use this technology to touch customers. The outcome was that Merrill Lynch decided that giving more information to customers would enrich the relationship between the financial consultant and customer, not diminish it. Merrill Lynch conducted extensive talks with customers and surveyed the competitive landscape. At this point, customers were discovering the Internet and E-Trades were growing. The company decided to move quickly. Merrill Lynch created a version of TGA, called Merrill Lynch Online, for customers, giving them access to research, account information, basic bill payment, and other fundamentals. The company hoped to sign up 200,000 customers within the first year, an average of about 550 people a day. Instead, 700 to 800 people a day signed up, and Merrill Lynch hit its target in just 7 months. One surprise was the demographic makeup of the clients attracted to the online service. Merrill Lynch had thought that younger, internet-raised customers would bite first, but it was the older, wealthier clients who signed up. The success of the pilot Merrill Lynch online service encouraged the company to add more market data, more account information, and more bill-paying options for customers. Today, customers can email their financial consultants, get delayed stock quotes and daily mutual fund prices, view research reports, pay their bills, and do fund transfers. Merrill Lynch recently added the ability to enter trading orders. Upon reflection, Merrill Lynch realized that the Internet was as much of an opportunity as a threat. The Internet provided more information to its customers, but information is not financial wisdom. A financial services firm should urge clients to use the Internet for information and communications, so that its financial consultants can spend more time planning and interacting with them. Now a consultant can call a customer and say, "Did you see that research report on Merrill Lynch Online? Have you read it? Good. Now let's talk about how these issues impact your portfolio." Informed clients ask better questions. Conversations are more in-depth and to the point. Because they are more informed and have more control, clients are more confident in their decisions. A client with information is more likely to act on the advice of a financial consultant whose strength is in providing financial insight into that information. With more dialogue between consultants and clients, clients will provide better feedback about what improvements or new services they want. The company won't be guessing about client needs. Eventually, Merrill Lynch expects to provide total synchronicity between the financial consultant and the client, to have both of them looking at the same thing, on the same screen, at the same time. When that happens, Merrill Lynch people like to say, the real magic starts. Changing the company-customer dynamic. Merrill Lynch's investment in information technology is a statement of the value it places on its knowledge workers. While the system was being rolled out, the market experienced a strong bull period, followed by a period of retrenchment caused by the Asian financial crisis, so it's difficult to directly measure the new system's financial impact. Merrill Lynch, however, can point to the more than $1 billion in additional assets that Merrill Lynch Online customers placed with the company. These funds might not have come Merrill Lynch's way without the new capabilities. There's a hot debate raging between the online brokers and the full-service brokers that will repeat in other industries. The pure online companies believe low transaction costs are compelling. Full-service vendors believe that when customers want advice, they still need to work with an expert. For the consumer, the important issue is to know whether you're paying for transactions or advice, and to be sure that you get what you pay for. There's no doubt that the Internet is raising customer expectations. The 70-plus online brokerages are discovering that the low-cost, self-service model creates intense competition to be one of the few that reach critical mass. Recognizing the need to offer differentiating value, even companies in the low-cost online market are experimenting with various combinations of service and price, trying to find the magic combination that customers are willing to pay for. Every company will need to adapt to get customers' attention in the crowded marketplace of the information age. Business lessons. The Internet will help achieve friction-free capitalism by putting buyer and seller in direct contact and providing more information to both about each other. As the Internet drives down the cost of transactions, the middleman will disappear or evolve to add new value. Only a few businesses will succeed by having the lowest price, so most will need a strategy that includes customer service. If you take a service approach, Arm your knowledge workers with digital information tools to connect with customers and manage those relationships. Diagnosing your digital nervous system. Does your IT system enable your knowledge workers to spend most of their time analyzing information instead of collecting it? Are you using PC servers to integrate applications from multiple sources, particularly those from older, inflexible systems? Do you have a single infrastructure to support applications for your internal knowledge workers and your customers? Chapter 6. Touch your customers. What's my return on investment on e-commerce? Are you crazy? This is Columbus in the New World. What was his ROI? Andrew Grove, Intel Chairman. As electronic commerce booms, it's not just middlemen who will find creative ways to use the Internet to strengthen their relationships with customers. The merchants who treat e-commerce as more than a digital cash register will do the best. Sales are the ultimate goal, of course, but the sale itself is only one part of the online customer experience. Some companies will use the Internet to interact with their customers in ways that haven't been possible before, and make the sale part of a sequence of customer services for which the Internet has unique strengths. It's important that customers come away from electronic interactions pleased enough to tell their friends. Word of mouth is the most powerful means by which any product or company builds a reputation, and the Internet is a medium made for word of mouth. If a customer doesn't like a product or the way a vendor has treated him, he's likely to email all of his friends or post a message on a heavily trafficked bulletin board. An Internet auto site called AutoWeb.com queries customers about dealer service by email and deletes dealers from its listings if they fail to improve their service as the result of complaints. Today, the primary competition for online stores is physical stores. Physical stores far outdo online stores in sales volumes. Online sales in 1998 were not much more than a rounding error in the world's overall business volume. Only 0.5% of the total retail sales of the seven largest economies. But that percentage will grow radically in the next decade. As e-commerce takes hold, the main competition for Internet sites will no longer be physical stores, but online stores. Rapidly growing categories for online commerce include finance and insurance, travel, online auctions, and computer sales. Today's Internet customers are the technically savvy. Companies such as Cisco Systems, Dell Computer, and Microsoft are now doing billions of dollars each in annual transactions over the Internet. Tomorrow's customers will be the mainstream. Chrysler expects its 1.5% online sales volume to jump to 25% in 4 years. Even the most conservative estimates project an annual growth rate of about 45% for online sales. The highest projections are for more than $1.6 trillion in business by the year 2000. I think this number is too low. In an online variant of the dependent store bridal registry, Eddie Bauer's online catalog enables a customer to post his name, his size, and a wish list of products he'd like so that his friends and family can buy him gifts he wants. No more wrong sizes or ugly ties. Geffen Records promotes its own artists and artists from associated labels on its website, but it also sells music from other labels. The site cross-promotes T-shirts, other fan-type merchandise, and movies. To build a community, the site offers discussion groups for fans and 24-hour response to email queries. Dell and Marriott International got into e-commerce early, convinced that if you build it, they will come. Their objective was to use the flow of information made possible by the Internet to directly touch customers and create a level of customer service that would naturally drive more sales. Jumping onto the Internet early. Dell was one of the first major companies to move to e-commerce. A global computer supplier with more than $18 billion in revenue, Dell began selling its products online in mid-1996. Its online business quickly rose from $1 million a week to $1 million a day. Soon it jumped to $3 million a day, then $5 million. It's still rising. Computer buyers clearly like the friction-free purchasing environment of the web. As of this printing, Dell has more than 1.5 million visits a week to its website, and 11% of its overall business is online. Dell intends to grow that proportion to more than 50%, perhaps as early as 2000. A lot of Dell's web business is probably new, since revenue on the web is growing significantly faster than Dell's overall revenue, but the company doesn't spend a lot of time worrying about it. Instead, the company just talks about web-enabled revenue, including the way the web supports other sales efforts. The web streamlines transactions and reduces technical support calls, too. Michael Dell, the company's founder, has a well-documented commitment to direct selling and computer-aided commerce. When he was 12 years old, Michael netted $2,000 selling stamps by mail order. In high school, Michael hustled newspaper subscriptions by using an Apple IIe to develop mailing lists targeting newlyweds or families who had just moved to town. He made enough money to buy himself a BMW. As a freshman at the University of Texas in 1983, Michael took excess inventory from local computer dealers at cost, upgraded the machines, and sold them over the phone for less than the dealers were charging. Within a year, he had left school to build a computer company operating on the same direct sales principle. When the Internet began to gain momentum, Michael was interested. He knew that the Internet could extend Dell's direct relationship with the customer from the customer's phone to the customer's desktop. Ultimately, Dell figured out that to get into high gear, the company needed to integrate the Internet into its overall business strategy. It established a business unit dedicated to online commerce and support. Starting early, just as the Internet was reaching out beyond students and technologists and into the mass market, Dell broke into Internet commerce when many companies were talking about it, but only a few were actually doing it. The company didn't know how customers wanted to use the Internet. The customers themselves weren't sure. Dell built an initial site that provided product information, enabled simple orders, and solicited feedback. Dell learned a lot from the customer suggestions that came in, mostly online. Over time, Dell has made hundreds of changes to its website, including 3 major updates and many minor feature changes, such as turning menu options into radio buttons to make the options easier to select. Step by step, Dell has added capabilities for customers, such as the ability to track the status of any order and get service and support. Cumulatively, these features have caused a major shift in Dell's business practices. Dell lowers overhead for service and support. The Internet eliminates lots of costs, not just sales costs. Each week, about 50,000 customers use Dell's website to check their order status. If just 10% of those customers called instead of using Dell's online service, those 5,000 calls at $3 to $5 each would cost Dell between $15,000 and $25,000 a week. Each week, about 90,000 software files are downloaded from Dell's site. Answering the same number of requests for software by phone and sending each customer the software by mail would cost Dell $150,000 per week. Each week, more than 200,000 customers access Dell's troubleshooting tips online. Each of these hits saves Dell a potential $15 technical support call. The savings over a year adds up to several million dollars. These self-service options improve Dell's efficiency, but the benefit also accrues to customers. Dell's online system saved one large company $2 million a year in help desk costs. Changing the role of the sales team. Michael Dell characterizes the direct business today as different combinations of face-to-face, ear-to-ear, and keyboard-to-keyboard. Each has its place. The Internet doesn't replace people. It makes them more efficient. By moving routine interactions to the web and enabling customers to do some things for themselves, we've freed up our salespeople to do more meaningful things with customers. Before, customers had a simple, convenient way to interact with the company through the Dell salesperson who sold them the computer, and the Dell salesperson was trained to make the customer's problems go away. As it introduced its new technology, Dell had to ensure that two things happened: that the new solution would be at least as convenient as calling, and that its own salespeople would change their way of doing business. We'd spent 13 years building a culture based on high-quality customer service. A lot of it was based on our salespeople being on the phone to customers all the time. Now we wanted to insert another piece, Michael says. The hardest part was not the technology, but the behavior shift, for our own salespeople as well as the customers. Simplicity and convenience were paramount. We had to build an Internet system that was so convenient, customers got more value for their time than they did on the phone. That was the only way we could wean them off face-to-face or ear-to-ear contact. It was a high bar to clear. Having more information online for customers didn't lessen the value of Dell's corporate sales team. With more reports and quoting tools online and available to customer and salesperson alike, the salesperson had fewer but meatier engagements with customers. Like Merrill Lynch, Dell found out that an educated customer is a better customer. Dell salespeople had already begun to play a consultant's role, helping the customer develop technology migration plans and leasing and asset replacement programs, and understanding the customer's business well enough to recommend ways that technology could help the bottom line more. Digital web transactions reduced the time that sales representatives spent processing orders, checking order status, and fielding customer service queries. Sales representatives now have more time for consulting, building the customer relationship, and selling. Representatives can still help out whenever they are needed. A customer can send a partially completed order form to a sales representative and get assistance before placing an order. One of Dell's unique approaches to customer support was to create more than 5,000 specially designed premier pages tailored to the needs of its major customers. About 65% of Dell's online business right now is from consumers and small businesses, and the premier pages are one way Dell is growing its corporate business. A large corporate customer, or a customer in a certain market segment, such as government or higher education, logs on to a secure Dell page designed for that organization alone. The page shows purchasing options according to the organization's policies. It displays standard machine configurations and prices that have been negotiated in advance, and shows order information, order history, and account contact information. Organizations can pre-approve purchases up to any amount, so many orders can be processed immediately. Customers at U.S. government agencies see pricing for systems that have been approved through General Services Administration contracts. When an order ships, a customer can get an automatic email notification and the order's air bill number. A second secure page contains confidential information for senior purchasing managers or senior members of the organization's IS group. This page provides account information that used to reach customers only in monthly reports. One manufacturing company uses its page to track purchasing and spending to date by department, and an oil company uses its page to track the deployment of its widespread computer assets. This second page has reduced Dell's overhead for furnishing account information to customers by about 15%. Shifting development priorities. The Internet approach changed the way that Dell develops applications. Dell used to build tools for its staff to use for phone support. Today, every major tools development effort at Dell is evaluated first to see whether it should be built directly for customers on the Internet. If it's for customers, it gets first call on developer resources. Dell's last big internal development project for support tools came just as the Internet was reaching critical mass. The company used the tools internally for several months, made a few changes, and then turned them over to customers. The Internet also affected how Dell uses its back-end systems. The company's mainframe system supported the existing phone ordering system, which had relatively few people inputting sales orders. This system could process hundreds of thousands of transactions a week, but it could not handle thousands of customers placing orders online. And the mainframe was usually taken down on the weekend for backup and maintenance. The Internet system needed to be available 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Dell solved the problem coupling the mainframe with a set of Dell's own PowerEdge servers, equipped with dual Pentium Pro processors. These servers run PC website management software and databases for order tracking and support. Using load balancing technology, Dell feeds incoming web requests through one of its many front-end servers. Content is mirrored on all of the servers so that the transaction load can be distributed. When traffic is particularly heavy, Dell can add a new server in about an hour. All the Internet team has to do is create a copy of the latest information on a new server, add this server to the network, and then notify the load balancing system that there is a new server. Dell had some kinks to work out in the procedures for uploading and downloading data. One day, the software on the mainframe was changed, scrambling the pricing link to the web servers. As a result, PC monitors were listed on the website at $0. Approximately 100 orders arrived in the short interval between the appearance of the zero price and Dell's correction of the problem. The company had to phone all of these customers to explain the error. The incident was a wake-up call about the kind of quality assurance required for Internet commerce, and Dell improved its software maintenance process to ensure that the mistake wouldn't happen again. In this instance, it was just embarrassing for us, says Scott Eckert, director of Dell Online, the organization established to build Dell's internet business. We were early in the game, and customers were understanding. But the lesson was clear. It alerted us that as our volume ramped up, the potential impact of any error was mind-boggling. A year from then, that kind of mistake would have been unacceptable for a high-visibility, high-volume website. While some people treat their website as a marketing brochure or simply entertainment, our site does business. It requires even more care than you'd put into an internal accounting system. Any mistake will be instantly visible to the world. Real-time flow of sales information through its website and order processing system is important to Dell's competitive situation. Instead of having 80 days of inventory, as indirect sellers have, although indirect sellers are trying to reduce that number, Dell keeps only 8 days of inventory, and much of that is in parts, such as chips and hard drives. Dell's manufacturing time is only 4 hours. Machines generally reach customers within 3 to 5 days of order. Dell's business model is based on the evils of inventory. The more Dell can reduce its inventory, the more it frees up working capital to drive into other revenue-generating activities. Dell's reduced inventory translates to a savings of hundreds of millions of dollars in assets. At the same time, the requirement for great customer service means that you never want to be out of stock either. Only information technology can provide the means to balance these needs. Physical assets used to be a defining advantage, Michael says. Now they're a liability. The closer you get to perfect information about demand, the closer you can get to zero inventory. It's a simple formula. More inventory means you have less information, and more information means you have less inventory. We're trading physical assets for information. Going forward, Dell is taking the next steps in website development, customizing even more services on its premier pages, and making the entire ordering process for major customers totally paperless. Even with the ability of customers to order online, much of the approval process within a customer's organization has still been paper-based. Dell will give companies an order application that integrates Dell's ordering database with the customer's purchasing system. Flexible reporting tools will give customers the ability to query Dell's information systems and generate their own status reports. Dell is already offering internet transaction capability in 36 countries and 18 languages. The company plans to continue expanding its internet services internationally so customers have a consistent Dell internet experience everywhere. Experimenting with a new service initiative. Marriott International Incorporated, the world's largest hospitality company, also recognized that the internet can do more than book sales. With greater than $10 billion in revenue, Marriott operates 1,500 hotels around the world under 10 different brands. The company put together its first online reservation system in 1996. Although Marriott says it was rudimentary and experimental, the system did $1 million in business by the end of the year. This volume got the attention of Marriott executives. Like Dell's, Marriott's executives sensed a great but unclear potential for internet business. And in early 1997, they created a special internet team, Interactive Sales and Marketing, headed by Mike Pusateri. From the start, Marriott's internet execution benefited from strong internal corporate support and tight coordination between the business team and the technology team. Senior Vice President of Sales, Rich Hanks, was an important internet champion. Hanks created Pusateri's department, hired Pusateri, got him in front of the right people, and helped him solidify his business case. Chief Information Officer Carl Wilson, new to Marriott at the time, not only worked with Pusateri on technical issues, but helped him win more executive sponsorship. Marriott's marketing research consistently showed the high potential of the internet for Marriott business. The 1997 American Internet User Survey by Find SVP showed that one of the most commonly researched topics on the World Wide Web was travel. According to the Forrester Group, the second largest online purchase category was travel. A Yankovic study showed further that people shopping for travel services were looking for information about their destination above all. And Marriott was in the destination business. For Marriott, Mike Pusateri concluded, the internet could create a communications loop that would provide a higher level of service, drawing in new customers. Technology companies got the internet phenomenon several years ago, but most other industries are just waking up to it, says Pusateri. The internet is all about service, providing service to customers in a way that's faster, friendlier, and more personal than they or the company has ever experienced before. And service is Marriott's business. We don't even own the bricks and mortar in most of our properties. How can we help you? Marriott was one of the first companies to build an interactive homepage. Using a sophisticated search tool, you can find a Marriott hotel by any combination of location, on-site facility, in-room amenity, and recreational offering. You can quickly put together a list of hotels in Phoenix that have a business center, in-room data ports, and nearby access to a golf course. Or you can find all the Marriott hotels located within a 10-mile drive of your company's Dallas, Texas branch office. You can click on a suggestion box icon to send feedback email to the customer service departments of individual Marriott hotels. Linked web pages describe shops, restaurants, and other attractions close to a hotel. An integrated mapping system gives you access to more than 16 million businesses and points of interest all over the world. You can get detailed driving instructions to any Marriott hotel from any location, or from any hotel to any nearby locations, complete with full-color roadmaps. If you want to go to a Chinese restaurant or find the nearest copy shop, the mapping system gives you up to 6 options within a 20-mile radius, along with directions to whichever you choose. Once you've found the right hotel for your needs, you can easily check availability and rates and reserve a room. You can also book rooms through other popular online distribution services, such as TravelWeb and Microsoft Expedia. Marriott's site has links to more than 1,000 other web pages. Anywhere on the web that you can book accommodations, Marriott has a presence. Customizing the website for every visitor. Marriott personalizes its website services for each and every visitor. The site is not just a static list or links to static lists that users have to wade through. All of the information is kept in a database and is presented to the site visitor according to the visitor's search criteria. Because the back-end software is dynamically adapting the site as a session goes on, every visitor has a different experience on the Marriott site, one that speaks to his or her interests. Marriott's website, which currently averages 15,000 hits a day, generated more than $2 million in internet-related revenues a month in 1997. It's hard for Marriott to know what percentage of these revenues would have come its way anyway through traditional means, but Marriott does know that the internet site is attracting more affluent customers who are opting to stay at its upscale properties. The average room rate of an online customer is higher than Marriott's overall customer average. While other companies are just beginning to build interactive sites, Marriott is pushing forward with more sophisticated capabilities, such as multimedia, which will give potential guests and travel planners a visual experience of a property. In place of static floor plans, customers will see panoramic views of the lobby and other facilities. Think of it as reservations with a view. Marriott has found, as others have found, that the more interactive a site is, the more business activity it gets from its visitors. A dynamic website creates more bookings and more business. Marriott plans to enrich its website and personalize it even further by adding a customer profiling feature. Say I want a relaxing weekend within a reasonable drive of Seattle. I'll be able to enter the names of 2 or 3 Marriott properties elsewhere that I really liked. Marriott will give me recommendations for similar hotels or resorts close to Seattle. The website might then let me read the comments from other guests who have stayed at one or more of those places. We've gone from monologue to dialogue in our website, from talking at our customers to talking with them, Mike Pusateri says. Now we need to move from dialogue to forum. Building profiles of our customers will not only allow us to serve them better, providing suggestions for things and places we know they like, but it will allow us to put Marriott customers in touch with each other. It's sort of like a news group within your website, but the software is doing all the work for us. Marriott believes that its value-added approach will differentiate it from other chains. The hotel is not interested in creating an internet flea market where customers scrounge for the lowest price. Marriott is not always the cheapest option. The company would rather follow the Nordstrom model and give customers lots of non-price criteria to shop by, intensifying its customers' loyalty with these new programs. Instead of bypassing middlemen, Marriott is integrating them into its customer services. The company provides special places on its website for travel agents and meeting planners. The access enables agents and planners to serve their customers better. In the travel agent section of its website, Marriott tells agents how to tie into Marriott from most of the major travel reservation networks. Meeting planners can search for properties by location, amenities, number of available guest and meeting rooms, and meeting room dimensions and capacities. The site also suggests appropriate properties for various activities. Today, the site provides detailed meeting room floor plans. In the future, the presentation is likely to be in video. Thousands of meeting planners visit Marriott's site for the simple reason that they don't have to make a trip to view a hotel property. Everything they need to see, they can see on the web. As for travel agents, Marriott succeeded in sending a message that this community is important to the hotel chain. Soon after going live, the Marriott site got good reviews in travel agent publications, and travel agent business at the site has been brisk ever since. You might wonder how Marriott knew that it had enough meeting planners and travel agents visiting its site to make it worth the investment in special tools for them. Marriott used technology to find out. When it first launched its site, Marriott posted an online survey and got 7,000 responses in 1 month. A surprising number came from travel intermediaries. The company also found out that general respondents were split 50-50 between business and leisure travelers, and that the two groups had radically different interests. Business travelers wanted to save time online. Leisure travelers wanted to spend time online. Marriott redesigned its site to be helpful to both groups. A red reservation button on the homepage makes it easy for business travelers or other travelers in a hurry to quickly book a room. For leisure travelers, who wanted destination content without lengthy downloads, Marriott trimmed the number of pictures while adding maps and directions. To keep in touch with its customers, Marriott is continuing its annual online surveys and analyzing its customer email, now running about 1,000 emails a day. Getting the Internet. To make the technology approachable and relevant to Marriott management, Mike Pusateri took an unusual step. He acquired 20 web TVs and delivered them to the homes of Marriott's top executives. He wanted them to understand that the web was becoming ubiquitous and that people were going to be embracing the web in a big way. As a company catering to guests' needs and desires, we needed to be speaking their language, recalls Pusateri. I told him that within a very short time, our guests would be demanding devices like this in our hotel rooms so they could couch and bed surf from our properties. They listened. Pusateri sat down with key executives and surfed with them through websites he knew they'd like. Within 6 months, the Internet and the World Wide Web had become real to them. Executives started looking me up in the cafeteria to tell me they had visited their favorite car site or had learned something about an illness, he said.